Dan Tolsman is director of player personnel at the Raptors. Dan Tolsman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Dan, thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
When you have a team that is in the position the Raptors are in right now, and both Dwayne and Masai talked about this at the end of the year, I think, about how there are a lot of young players in this team. It's nice to have youth, but you don't want to have a team full of guys at the end of the bench that aren't necessarily ready to contribute on a daily basis as part of the rotation. Even when you're a team in a situation like that, and you are drafting, and you're picking around the ninth spot, understandably, you're going to, I think, draft for need in a lot of cases, and the Raptors could use another big man if Bismack goes. But how important is it also to, get a guy who is maybe a little more NBA ready, so that I'm not saying this guy is going to play half a game, but at least he can, become, in some games, he can become a regular part of Dwayne's rotation?
Yeah, I think that definitely factored in a little bit in our pick. I mean, we actually had this discussion quite a bit leading up to yesterday. And, I mean, honestly, ideally we're in a situation, again, like this past year, where we don't need to rely on a lot of young guys. If we do if they get the opportunity and they do well, it's just icing on the cake. I mean, we're going to be a very competitive, veteran-led team that anything we can get out of our young guys, who I wouldn't call them end-of-the-bench guys as much as just developing, maybe in and out of the rotation based on what the other guys are doing. But we don't see these guys as end-of-the-bench guys who can't step in and give us anything. Like, these guys are all – they're mature for their age, and they put in the time and effort to kind of get ready for when their number's called. And I think that Jakob is a guy that, in that same situation as maybe what Norm did last year, and DeLon a little bit too, he was a little bit less of the opportunity, but when the time came, they seemed ready, and they seemed willing to step in and do what they had to do. So I think Jakob kind of fills a lot of that role as well. And if he ends up coming in and showing really well in summer league and training camp and whatnot, I think that he's the type of guy that will earn the trust of the coaches quickly, and he could, elevate above, even what early expectations would be.
How do you compare him to Jonas? Because that's going to be the first comparison people are going to make.
They're very similar in that. That's one thing that we kind of liked about this kid, is that we could probably put him on a very similar development plan than what we had Jonas on when he first got to Toronto, and just really patiently develop this kid behind who we think is a budding star in the NBA in Jonas. And we the path has kind of been set on a way to develop a similar big who has a lot of physical gifts, as well as just a great feel for the game. And we're going to kind of take a very similar approach and put him in a lot of the same development type programs that we've got Jonas in. And, hopefully kind of being behind Jonas and learning from him, it's going to put this guy on a good path for success.
Now, you also, you chose a power forward with the 27th pick, Pascal Siakam. And, I understand that, Wayne Embry has suggested that Poeltl, in fact, has the skill set that he may be able to develop into a four as well. Is that something we could expect to see, or a process we could expect to see begin in summer league, or for this year? Would you guys be more, just more concerned with having him kind of work on being a guy who can contribute at center in the NBA, and then if the four? If his ability to play the four eventually develops, that's fine. But in other words, that it's something that is not kind of thrown on his plate right away.
No. I think that's just a testament to how skilled he is as a player, and he moves his feet so well laterally for a 7'1" guy. That gives that theory a little bit of credit. Maybe further down the road, is that maybe one day this guy can become a 4 or 5. And right now I think the biggest thing for him is just getting adjusted to the speed of the NBA. And, you know, he's a little bit different of a player in JV in that he's really good in high post situations, like coming out of the pick and roll and making decisions as a passer. And he's got incredible hands as a roller who can catch and then, you know, not only finish but make some pretty quick decisions in traffic. And that actually, because of that, it gives some potential to him playing alongside JV down the road, like as he gets comfortable. And to say that he could ever become a full-time foreman, I mean, that's pretty far down the road to say if that's even something that we want to pursue. But no, I think it's more of just his skill set that he brings to the table is pretty intriguing to where, you know, maybe what he does can complement JV in some ways as well.
Dan, when guys are evaluating college big men, has that process changed in the past couple of years because of the way the NBA game has gone? Is there, you know, maybe a characteristic of this generation's big men that you guys look for that perhaps wasn't all that, you know, much sought after 10 years ago, for example?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that, you know, I mean, the trend now is to try and have as many shooters on the floor as you can to help with spacing, just because that opens up so many other opportunities for, you know, driving and low post play and whatnot. And so, I mean, it definitely you kind of look for different traits, but when you see big men who have NBA skills, you know, like high motors and they rebound and good hands and quick jumps, like quick second jumps, like on, you know, down in traffic around the rim, stuff mm-hmm. like that. That's always been the same. And if you can find those types of things and then add on top of it, a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit or kind of, you know, defend the pick and roll because the pick and roll is such a huge part of the NBA game now. Yeah. Things like that definitely come into play, with both Jakob and Pascal. I think what we see in those guys are, you know, just very traditional, like high motor guys. They both run the floor extremely well. They're both going to be very, probably more impact on the defensive end than on the offensive end early in their career. And, you know, it's just going to be, let's see how their development goes on the offensive end and see what more we can kind of cultivate out of them. But, I mean, for young guys coming into a veteran situation like we have, the way that they're going to get on the floor and the way they're going to earn our coach's trust, regardless of how we play or how they fit in our rotation, is going to be, you know, hard work on defense and, you know, just kind of doing the little things, the dirty work type stuff. So, I mean, these are two guys that we know will, you know, bring their lunch pail to work every day and just, you know, go at it. So, we're probably not, when considering like filling in those big spots, we weren't taking into account a lot of the trends of the NBA as much mm-hmm. as like, okay, can these guys help our team in any way? And, you know, if anything, just push our frontline guys further in practice and you know, challenge for minutes and see where it goes from there.
You know, it's interesting because as soon as I asked that question, I was thinking back to a conversation I had with Paul Jones just the day after the conclusion of the NBA Finals. And you know, in some ways, I think the Cavaliers, I don't know if I'd say they were a little more old school than Golden State, but in some ways, I think there might have been a more, I'm going to use this in quote marks, Dan, a sort of traditional NBA look to the Cavaliers than to Golden State. You know, when personnel people are analyzing a draft, I mean, how aware or how much are trends taken into account anyhow? You know, not just the way the NBA yeah. game is going now, but just in general, do you have to guard almost, Dan, against being too trendy when you're looking at a college player?
I wouldn't say being too trendy as much as you know, not every team plays the same way in the NBA. I think teams like to, you know, kind of emulate a little bit of what's having success. And so you kind of take pieces from the teams that are successful and you build around that. And I think, I think Cleveland, they kind of proved that, like, they weren't as extreme on the style of play as what Golden State was, and they were still able to win. So I don't think the pendulum has swung so far to the one side where everyone needs to go, you know, five out and small ball and all this stuff, to where you can still win with the more traditional setup. And I think, you know, it is definitely the type of thing for style of play is, you know, I, like I mentioned before, like, mm-hmm. pick and roll has become such a big part of the NBA, regardless of the types of players that are running those positions and making it easier. So it's like regardless of how we play, if we don't have guys who can defend that, then it's an issue. And so the big thing for us is, you know, really being able to, if anything, counteract what the other teams are trying to do, and defending the pick and roll is going to be a key part. And we think both these guys for their position are pretty good at doing that. As well as the tempo of the NBA picks up, both these guys run the floor extremely well for their positions. And both are very willing. I don't want to say hesitate, but I'd say on the scale, like, both these guys are pretty high level passers for their position as well, for guys coming out of college. So if anything, they're guys who will be able to kind of plug in and bring the mentality and the approach that our team has and our culture has, and hopefully fit right in.